Hey Bulls Nation, welcome to another episode of the Rebuildable Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gentile, and it is the week of the NBA's trade deadline. It's kind of weird. I remember when the trade deadline used to be after the All-Star break. It's weird. It's before the All-Star break now, but kind of cool. It makes the drama leading into the break so much cooler. You kind of see how these contenders start to take shape with new guys coming into the fold for the stretch run. So it's going to be a fun week, but for our Chicago Bulls, they sit right now, as I sit here recording it on Tuesday night, 19-33. They are 3.5 games back of the Orlando Magic for the 8th seed, and they're actually 4 games back of the Brooklyn Nets for the 7th seed. I just wonder, are they buyers or sellers? Or maybe they're even just staying status quo. I don't know yet. I'm having trouble wrapping my head around it. Like, is this team, do they really deserve to get in the playoffs? Yeah, they have a young core. It'd be nice to get playoff experience, but have they really earned that? I don't know. And then I think, you know, if Lauri Markkanen comes back and he plays well after a little bit of rest, and Zach LaVine continues to play well, and, you know, maybe Wendell Carter, Otto Porter come back and play well, it'd be kind of nice to see those guys get in. So I'm conflicted, and to help me, I'm bringing in a guest today. His name's Keith Franz. You might know him better as Bull Scripted on Twitter. He's always commenting during games, whenever bloggers, reporters, podcasters, you know, put out their opinions, usually see Bull Scripted somewhere in there. That's how I found him. I know he contributes on C-Bread Fred's podcast, Chicago Bullseye. And he does contribute on a couple other podcasts. I'll let him speak more to that later in this episode. But when I had C. Red Fred on during our New Year's episode, he joined, of course, the illustrious Rebuildable Three-Timers Club. Yes, we're a small but furious podcast, and we have a special club. The Three-Timers Club basically is, come on the podcast for the third time, you're inducted, and you get to choose a future guest to come on. And C. Red Fred picked Keith. And I think it would actually be kind of nice to hear his opinion on this because, you know, I'm probably leaning a little more towards the Bulls selling at this point. And I'm curious if he's in that camp or if he's looking to buy and get the Bulls into the playoffs. So let's bring him in right now. Keith, how are you? Thanks for joining me.
I'm doing all right. Currently looking for a car, but other than that, stressful process, dealing with the bull stressful process.
What's more stressful, going through the car buying process or watching this Bulls team kind of struggle and watching Jim Boylan try to be a head coach of an NBA team?
Nothing really comes to mind that's harder than watching Jim Boylan coach a basketball team, so we'll stick with that.
You know, I've listened to you on Fred's podcast, Chicago Bullseye. And, you know, he did nominate you to be a guest on the podcast. And, you know, I know that you've always been a big Bull supporter. Now, I'm not being mean when I say this. You're kind of skewing more the Homer direction. I mean, how did you feel about Jim Boylan being brought in and getting that 3-year extension during the offseason? Were you in favor of it?
I wouldn't say I was in favor. When Jim was promoted in what wasn't labeled as an interim situation, but to me, his contract, the situation, everything in general, Jim was an interim coach that wasn't being called an interim coach when he took over for Fred. Going into that offseason, my biggest thing was I just wanted them to do a legitimate search. And that didn't seem to happen unless it happened behind closed doors and it was very hush-hush. No, it was an offseason that didn't have the biggest names on the market in terms of coaches. They missed the year when Coach Bud Budenholzer was up, you know, for a new job. Fizdale, who's since been fired from the Knicks. Who else did you have that season? I know I'm missing a really important name. Dwayne Casey, who had actually just won Coach of the Year and lost his job with the Raptors. So you had some bigger names the previous offseason, and unfortunately the Bulls kind of just held under Fred Hoiberg a little bit too long. So no, I was not enamored with the Jim Boylan contract extension, but I also can't even find anywhere on the internet how much he makes a year. So I have a feeling it's not very much to where he's stuck here.
you hear a lot of reports, and it seems like David Kaplan from ESPN 1000 seems to be pretty connected with some of the inner workings of the front office, and it seems like he is on a relatively cheap deal. You know, so it wouldn't surprise me if after this season, you know, they do end up parting ways. Before we get into some trade deadline talk, Keith, you know, I mentioned you're a regular contributor on Chicago Bullseye with C Red Fred, but you know, what are some of the other ventures? I know you're a contributor with Bulls on Tap, correct?
That is correct. Bulls on Tap is by On Tap Sports Network. I've been doing that show starting this year with my buddy Buzz on Tap, who's also met Fred. We've met up at a couple events. I met Buzz at a Bulls draft party. And from there, you know, we kind of became somewhat internet friends. I've hung out a couple of times and we're like, you know what, let's start a podcast. And he's been affiliated with On Tap from the beginning, and they've actually kind of grown and expanded quite a bit. So make sure you check that out. If you like talking Bulls, listening to Bulls, just, you know, a lot of good stuff to be found there.
And I know you go by at Bulls Scripted on Twitter. And honestly, that's one of the first places where I found you, was just going through Bulls Twitter and seeing your reactions to certain, you know, reports, blogs, interactions amongst different podcasters, bloggers on Twitter. And I've always been a big fan of your takes. I think you have a pretty measured approach on a lot of things. I'm also always intrigued when you do interact with certain people like Romina. She's very interesting. Does anybody really know what her story is, by the way? No. Other than she's just a big fan?
She's just really a big fan. She's been to a couple occasions with me and Fred as well. She's been at the draft party. She was at Doug Tonis's draft party last year. Romina's she's just a diehard Bulls fan. Really down-to-earth person. Easy to get along with. Likes to have a good time. And no, she's obviously, if you follow Romina, you know she's obsessed with Zach LaVine, but that is not where her Bulls fandom originates from. She is just genuinely a diehard fan.
I always thought, you know, that Ron guy, I don't understand, like, what his problem is a lot. At least last season, it seemed like he was always trying to get into spats with her over Zach LaVine. It was just kind of bizarre.
No, Ron is a bit of an enigma.
Is he real?
He is real. The Twitter police have actually found Ron's Facebook and found out that he's like a horse breeder or something. But he also does have ties to basketball in his family going back a while as well, at least from what he has said. I don't know if that's confirmed or not, but no, when Ron started off, you know, me and him, we actually got along. There was a point in time where me and him almost did a podcast together.
Wow.
And then out of nowhere, he went from this, well, I guess as you called it, homer. I like to consider myself a little bit more of a realist than a homer, but definitely a couple dashes of homer in my optimism. And Ron used to kind of follow that. He's never liked Jimmy Butler, so maybe that's why I caught him at the right time. The Bulls had just traded Jimmy Butler, and, you know, we're starting this rebuild, and he was rather optimistic until last year, and he just started going crazy about everything, and this is the worst team ever. And from my perspective, it was because he saw that that's what was getting attention and that's what was selling, and he wanted the attention. But outside of that, no, Ron is a bit of an enigma to me.
He doesn't want to give Zach LaVine any credit for, you know, strides he's made in his game. Sure, Zach LaVine's got deficiencies defensively, but you know what? The improvement that Zach's made as a scorer, and, you know, being more of a threat from the outside and really being the catalyst for the Bulls, I don't get why he just refuses to give him any credit when it's due. It's almost like he's got to find ways to put Zach down. I mean, it felt very artificial last year. And I noticed, though, Ron is making an appearance back on Twitter. Like, he took a bit of a break, and now he's coming back full force.
Yeah, we had almost a year-long break there where Ron got on Twitter one day and said that some NBA team was actually paying him for his advice, so he wasn't allowed to talk on Twitter anymore. So maybe he got fired from that position. Oh, now he's back. Or maybe he was like, maybe they forgot about me. I don't know.
Hmm. What if Ron ends up being the outside voice? What if he is the outside voice that Joe Colley keeps referring to that they're going to bring in? What if it's Ron?
I was wondering where you're going with outside voice. You lost me there for a second. Oh, please, no. Do not bring in horse breeder Ron to be the new voice for the Chicago Bulls. We'll trade Zach LaVine for a second round pick 2 minutes into his tenure.
Okay, we're going to get to that because that there's been some interesting things popping up on Twitter that reminds me of something that came from SI. But, you know, we do have the trade deadline coming up on Thursday, and I'm curious what you think. I opened the podcast here by saying that I felt very conflicted. I'm not sure if the Bulls should be buyers seeing as they're 3.5 back of the 8th seed and 4 games back of the 7th seed, or if they should be sellers given the current situation with Laurie on the shelf, Wendell Carter on the shelf, Otto Porter on the shelf. If you were in that position right now, if you were Garpax, would you be looking to buy, sell, or just stay status quo?
Well, in that position, I'd first have to ask myself, how the hell has Otto Porter not got back on a basketball court?
That's a really good question.
So I think what's going on with Otto for me would dictate a lot of how I plan to go about this. If I knew the timetable, which as Bulls fans, we never know the timetable of injured players because they usually start out as a week and grow into a season. And if they start out at a season, they might actually come back after like 2 games. So we really don't know what the timetables for those 3 starters are. So what are you even trying to buy for? Are you trying to buy to compensate the fact that you might be without those players for the rest of the year? Because really what we're missing is Otto Porter Jr. We went into the season and the glaring weakness the whole entire offseason was the wing depth, especially with Jim Boylan's reluctance to play Thaddeus Young at small forward, even in favorable matchups. So I think you got to be a seller because I don't know what you'd buy.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where I'm at too. Like, there's not really a bunch of these small pieces. Like, I feel like the Bulls are actually armed with a lot of pieces that could be attractive to contending teams. Like, we know that Thad Young has been a desirable asset for the Clippers. There's been some, I don't know if I've seen any real official reports from any of the reliable guys, but you've heard about Denzel Valentine maybe having interest from a team like Philly. But like the Chicago Bulls have, I think, a lot of pieces that other teams would want. For the Bulls, you make a great point. It's really about having somebody like Otto Porter on the court, having Lauri Markkanen on the court, having Wendell Carter on the court. I don't see what you really could buy if you're the Bulls. There's definitely some interesting pieces to sell.
No, definitely. I have seen Denzel linked to the Grizzlies as well. We fleeced them last year for 2 second-round picks, one that turned into Daniel Gafford. And I believe the other one we sent to Washington in the sign-and-trade for Satoransky. So they don't have many second-round picks left, but what they do have is Josh Jackson's expiring contract because the last year of his rookie contract was turned down. So he will not be a restricted free agent in the offseason. He will be an unrestricted free agent in the offseason. He spent the season in the G League, but that's kind of the asking price you're going to be looking for somebody like Denzel Valentine is swapping a player that a team doesn't feel valuable to their franchise this season for Denzel, who might actually be able to make an impact on their roster.
So if the Bulls are going to, I guess, trade off some pieces, who do you think is going to get the biggest haul back? I'm going to throw out some names. If Thad Young does indeed get traded, what do you think you get in return for a guy like Thaddeus Young?
I think you're looking at a heavily protected first-round pick. Thad, at least that's the price that I would ask. You signed Thaddeus Young as your priority this offseason. Thad was the first free agent that the Bulls went after, and seeing how his time here has kind of played out has been frustrating as a fan, because when Lowry was healthy, him and Lowry would not play together very much, which meant that both of them were sacrificing minutes, because if you're refusing to put them on the floor together, then, well, you only have 48 minutes in a game to split between the two of them. So I think Thad's fit here has been somewhat disappointing, but we're going into an offseason where the free agent market's going to be pretty dead. If you're not just trading Thad to get cap space for the offseason, who do you intend to get that's going to be better than Thad Young? You know, and you mentioned the Clippers, a team like the Clippers, they do have their first round pick this year because OKC wanted nothing to do with the pick this year because it's going to be junk. So maybe with them being slotted 26 to 30, Mo Harkless, whose salary kind of matches up with Thad Young's.
If that was the case, I would sign up for that in a heartbeat. And I know Mo Harkless is an expiring deal. I think he's got, like, he's making around $11 million, I think I saw. But that is an expiring deal, I believe, after this season. That would be an intriguing piece, though. I mean, I guess if you're the Clippers and you're looking to go on a stretch run, is that somebody you're willing to part with? Like, I know you're getting Thad Young, who is pretty productive, but would you be willing to part with a guy like Harkless?
Well, I don't think he's even considered. He might even have fell out of the rotation.
You know, I'm an idiot. I'm thinking of this is my bad. I'm thinking of Montrezl Harrell. So I just had a brain fart. He, I know, was an expiring deal at $6 million. That, my bad.
Though while you're having a slight brain fart there, there is reports out there that the Clippers are heavily shopping Montrezl Harrell as well, because they're kind of concerned with the offers he could receive in the offseason, and they don't know that they really want to pay him.
And he's more of a palatable contract, so the salary match would be a little tricky there if you wanted to make that move, because I believe the Clippers are in that luxury tax space, I believe. So you're going to have to eat some salary in return. Now, in your scenario, would you pay with Harkless and, you know, maybe that first? That could be intriguing for the Bulls, because you're taking $11.5 million for 1 year, getting a possibly a first-round pick. So I guess there is definitely some intrigue in taking on that. So let me throw out another name at you. We mentioned Denzel. With, you know, either Memphis or Philly, or if there's another team that kind of jumps in, what do you think you get for a guy like Denzel? Do you think you could get the Justin Holiday type deal?
I think you're looking at less, and I feel that's actually on the Bulls. Last year, Justin Holiday was looking at 2 second-round picks, even though the Bulls robbed the Grizzlies blind there. He got that offer because he was playing 30-plus minutes a game and shooting close to 40% from three-point land. Denzel Valentine probably hasn't played 40 minutes in the last month and a half. So the Bulls really haven't done themselves any favors in the handling of Denzel Valentine. I think they've even been quoted saying that we would jump at the opportunity to trade him, or at least that was something Cowley said that he had heard. So I think they've devalued Denzel to, you're lucky if you're getting 1 second.
And that, I think that is, it's a clear indictment on what Jim Boylan's done this year. And you brought it up earlier with the fact that they do lack wing depth, and he could have been, I think, a valuable asset coming off the bench. You wonder what would have happened if they would have played him, what his trade value would be right now. Like, could it have been kind of what we were talking with Thad Young? Could it have been a heavily protected first if he did get the run? Or could it have been the Justin Holiday, you know, two twos type deal? Because I do think that would have been very possible had he been a valuable part of the rotation like I thought he was going to be coming into the season.
Oh, no. I argued with a crazy Ryan Archie Diacono fan all offseason, saying there's no way that Archie plays over Denzel in the rotation. And we watched it happen time and time again, even with Hutchison and Otto Porter Jr. injured at the same time. We had no small forwards on the roster. Oh, Ryan. You look like you can play small forward. You played football. Get out there.
Well, and, you know, or like throwing in Shaq Harrison in some of those cases. Like, you get more of a scoring pop with a guy like with Valentine. He's a better shooter. I just didn't understand why there was that. Like, I don't know, maybe he said something to Boylan. It seems personal. It has that feeling like there's something personal going on there. I don't like to speculate like that, but it just seems too bizarre not to play a guy when you have a need to get somebody like that on the floor.
Well, I did get to attend the season ticket holder open practice that went on in the off season, thanks to Buzz, who I do the podcast with, getting a small season ticket package. And during that practice, Denzel was playing and he had the ball and Boylan had a mic on. He was orchestrating the whole practice. And you actually heard him say, "Denzel, move that bitch. Be a 3-second man. Pass, shoot. Enough of this dribbling." Like, he was getting on him in front of a whole bunch of people there for this practice. So it's clear that there was something there. And who knows, that incident right there, embarrassing a player in front of an open practice of season ticket holders, maybe that contributed to it as well. I don't know, but that is one of the things that I remember most vividly about attending that practice, was Jim telling Denzel that he has to move the ball.
So, yeah, I mean, it definitely does seem though like him not getting the minutes he should be getting has hurt potential trade value. I want to throw out another name, and it kind of stinks because he's gotten hurt, Chris Dunn. And, you know, he's actually been a pretty valuable piece to the Bulls, and I'll admit, coming into the season, I was hoping they would trade him. Now, Chris Dunn, of course, got injured in the last outing against Toronto. What do you think you would have gotten for him if he were healthy?
Healthy? He is on an expiring contract as a restricted free agent. So ultimately, you're trading for 30 games plus the playoffs and the ability to re-sign him or match any offer in the offseason. So healthy, maybe the same situation that Thad's in, with the way that he had played himself back into that kind of value. I never left Dunn Island. I was one of the few people that maybe a little foolishly at times continued to stand behind him, because I don't think that the game of basketball is only offense. I don't think it's only three-pointers, despite the direction of the league. I think he does bring a lot of things to the table that players like Patrick Beverley and Marcus Smart both do. And I've actually shared their stat comparisons for this season. And Chris Dunn's averaging more steals. About the only category that he's worse in is three-point shooting. But those are two players that make $12-plus million a year that Chris Dunn kind of fits into that category. You need those players on your team. This is going to be selfish, too. I think Dunn's injury might actually help the Bulls.
So, I don't know. Like, if somebody did call, let's say somebody did kind of call with that scenario of giving up a protected first for Chris Dunn, or even, it was a contending team, and they said, "Here, we'll just give you this first-round pick. It's going to be a low first-round pick, but here you go. We'll give it to you for Chris Dunn. We want that kind of defensive player in the playoffs for us." Would you make that move if you do indeed get an unprotected first for a guy like Chris Dunn?
I would, just because I actually do kind of fear what kind of offer he could get in the offseason. In a market where there's not going to be a lot of big names, teams that have money are going to have to dump that cap on something. So even if it's just, well, the team wouldn't be able to offer him only 1 year as a restricted free agent. So they couldn't give him a poison pill kind of up front, front loaded, and steal him for the Bulls 1 year without the Bulls rescinding his qualifying offer, like the Bucks did with Jabari Parker for the Bulls to get a 1+1 deal. As a restricted free agent, it has to be at least a 2+1 contract. So, no, I'm slightly concerned about what Dunn could see in the offseason, and that's what I was alluding to when I said I think this injury might help the Bulls. He's going to fall back off the radar a little bit. He's going to go into the offseason not finishing the year as a talking point, and he might, you know, kind of be forgotten a little bit in the offseason opposed to where he was kind of angling towards with this season.
Given your kind of support there, what would you be willing to pay a guy like Chris Dunn? Are you going excess of, you know, I'll throw an arbitrary number out there, excess of $12.5 million a year?
No, I'm not. And that's as somebody who, like I said, I never really left Dunn Island, but I think 8 to 10, maybe 12, if I'm faced with letting this guy walk for free or possibly flipping this contract at a later date if he lives up to it, kind of thing. But 8 to 10, I don't think he's quite Patrick Beverley or Marcus Smart. I do think he's in that tier, just a little bit below them. So I think that would be an appropriate contract. But like I said, with the way that this free agent market is, he could very well see upwards of that.
I do want to get to another name, and we saw some interesting activity the other day about Zach LaVine. First, I want to get to an actual tidbit. It came from Zach Lowe on his podcast. He was talking with Brian Windhorst, and he mentioned that Zach LaVine's name has come up in NBA circles as a guy that a lot of teams are interested in, but that the Bulls were basically saying, don't bother. We're not really interested in trading Zach. If it were you, and you were in Garpax's seat, would you be interested if the deal was right?
I actually put out a tweet before we recorded about this, and the problem with the situation is the suitors that want Zach LaVine right now in the middle of this season for their contention run are teams that don't really have the pieces to trade for Zach. You're going to be getting offered 20 to 30 draft slotted first round picks. Mm-hmm. A lot of those teams are going to be powerhouses for the next few years. So even their first for next year or the year after that has a very fluctuating value depending on the injuries to their team. And I don't think there's really a market there. I mean, you'd want something similar that you got for Jimmy Butler. If you're trading an all-star caliber player, which I feel Zach LaVine is or will be in the very near future, you need to be getting that kind of talent back potentially. And the offers that would be out there right now just aren't going to bring that kind of return.
Well, I know you reacted to this blog post that had come out from SI as well, like a lot of people in Bulls Nation did. So Dalton Trigg, he's really more of like a fan blogger that contributes for SI. And one of his ideas was that the Dallas Mavericks, who would be an actually very interesting fit for a guy like Zach LaVine, he had tweeted out a trade proposal that was pretty laughable, where I believe it included a young player, a second-round pick, and Courtney Lee's expiring contract. Okay, so, like, you brought... well, and I'm glad you're laughing. You brought that up, that, you know, there's a lot of these really good teams that don't have the assets. Like, that kind of a deal to me, if that was offered to me, if I were Garpax, I don't even know if I would have the stomach to laugh. I think I'd just hang up the phone. Like, that kind of a deal for a budding all-star, and say what you want about Zach. If you're not a fan of him being an all-star, fine. But to say that he doesn't at least net you, like, a first-round pick and a really desirable player or two first-round picks, I mean, that's crazy. Like, to put out that kind of a deal even as a conversation starter, to me, is just, it's clickbaity and laughable.
Although I was one shocked to see that it was an article by Sports Illustrated, and then shocked to see how irrelevant and far Sports Illustrated has fallen since when I was a kid, and that was only sports magazine that everybody had.
Sports Illustrated, I think they just keep cutting people left and right, so there's like no reporters left. It's all opinion pieces, and some of the opinion pieces on there just come from, you know, and I'm not trying to rip like, you know, SB Nation or anything like that, but it's very similar to that, where it's just a lot of, you know, fan bloggers. And I'm all for fan voices, but I mean, you have to have a little bit more sense in terms of what usually happens within the trade market. I think Dalton Trigg, he tweeted out that he predicted to Kevin Bulldog Anderson over at NBC Sports Chicago, he tweeted a response to him saying that he predicted the Porzingis trade when people laughed at him. But, I mean, that was at least a decent trade for an injured player. And this is Zach LaVine. He's healthy this year. He's played every game. He's a budding all-star. Why would you think that a second round pick, Courtney Lee's dead ass, and maybe a young player is going to get a deal done? I don't understand why you would think that makes any sense.
No. And then he tried to justify it by saying, well, that would just be the starting talk. If that's the starting talk and I received that phone call personally, I am blocking your number until you have been relieved from that position of that team. I don't want to take any calls from whatever team is calling me and offering me that for my player that's averaging 25-5-5, whether that's on a losing team or not. I am not trading somebody who can put up 25 a night, just went on a stretch for January where he was averaging almost 30 points a night, and hearing second round pick is possibly the most intriguing thing in the deal, and going, you know what, let's keep talking.
And the crazy thing too, this is a guy who is also on a very desirable contract in today's NBA. Like, guys that are averaging close to 23, 24 points a game and making the amount of money he's making a season, what, about $20 million a season? That's not easy to find. So, you know, if a team had assets, I think they'd be willing to part with quite a bit.
Definitely a contending team with the proper assets to make an offer that isn't insulting would greatly benefit, because Zach has two more years left on this contract. The cap's only going to continue to go up. So for the next 2 years, that contract only looks better.
I'm curious what your thoughts are. What do you think Zach LaVine, if the Bulls did indeed look at this opportunity as a possibility to sell and do another kind of soft rebuild off the other rebuild, what do you think Zach could net on the open market? Like, what's an actual deal that you would take if you were in their position?
I think you were pretty close in saying two first-round picks. I don't think you'd get as much as the Jimmy Butler contract. Obviously, Jimmy had a similar amount of time left on his contract. He was an older player, so he was looking at a bigger contract extension coming up than the Bulls were comfortable paying. So I think two first-round picks is pretty good, you know, non-homeristic situation.
Yeah, I feel bad now for calling you a homer. Like,
oh, no, you're good, man. I get it all the time. All last season, I got asked and called Gar and Pax for everything. And it's like, no, I call it how I see it. I don't need to defend some people that I've never met.
Well, and I want to put this out there that is how Fred did kind of describe you when he went to pitch the idea of having you on the pod. So, you know, I put that with a little bit of a Fred blessing behind it, and I know, you know, he's the driver of the big red bus, so I think that carries some weight.
No, I mean, it's like I said, I am a homer. I have a picture of Benny the Bull's head on I don't even know if I should say this, on Jesus next to my computer. It was a logo that I thought about putting out, but I thought it was going to be too controversial. But I put Benny the Bull's head photoshopped onto a very glowing Jesus coming from the sky. And that is the kind of fan that I am.
I'm trying to imagine Jesus doing that that popcorn routine at the UC. That would be interesting. So, you know, to get back to the Zach LaVine, talk, I think the other desirable trade package, I keep kicking around the two possibilities. I think I brought it up when I asked the question too. Two firsts is I think to me what would be the going rate. I think it maybe a first rounder and even like a really desirable young player as well. Maybe one that's kind of like what Zach was when he was traded away from Minnesota, like that kind of a player. I don't know if I can think of a good comp right now, but
I got one. Maybe the Bulls. I don't know if the Bulls would have to send something back in this. I have heard or read murmurs that the Pelicans might be interested in moving Brandon Ingram. Based on the fact that in this market, he's probably looking at a max contract offer that they'd be forced to match in the offseason. Trading Ingram for LaVine, which gives you a contract that's already set in stone for under $20 million for the next 2 years.
it's an interesting fit too, because I mean, you look at that, the way that team's built with Zion. You know, Drew Holiday's an interesting piece. Ball's an interesting piece. I feel like Zach could actually be a pretty decent fit with those guys.
No, there was Bulls fans all offseason desperate to get Lonzo here. So you got Lonzo, Zach, Zion, Jackson Hayes is an honorable mention. You know, that's an interesting core.
I wonder, like, if you did entertain that offer. I mean, they do have draft equity, of course. So I guess it depends where the Pelicans sort of see themselves. Do they want to make a push to get into the postseason this year? Do they think by having Zach now that next year they really have a chance to make noise in the West? Like, the Western Conference is such a beast, and it's tough to kind of dictate, you know, where you're going to go. But that would be really, really intriguing. And I think if you were a team like the Bulls, you know, if you could get a first and a guy like Brandon Ingram, I mean, it's certainly, I think, willing to entertain that option.
See, I think if you're the Bulls, you probably have to send something back in that game. Ingram was named an NBA All-Star Reserve this season. He's going to be a restricted free agent heading into the offseason. And that's the only reason that the Pelicans are even debating the possibility of trading him to get some value back, as opposed to matching a max contract offer in the offseason that they're not 100% set on.
The intriguing thing about Brandon Ingram to me is, like, it's like he hasn't even developed into his body yet. I mean, look, he's got, like, the type of frame you want. It's just kind of getting him to, like, a healthy point weight-wise. Because, like, he's long.
I hate to cut you off again, but this idea kind of just popped in my head. If you don't trade Brandon Ingram as the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Bulls are willing to pay Ingram a max contract, do you take the expiring, assuming Otto Porter takes his player option in the offseason, would you entertain trading Otto Porter's expiring contract with a first-round pick this year, lottery pick, for an Ingram? Maybe add a future protected first?
Ooh. You know, I guess it depends, you know, depending on how the season goes, where are they finishing in the lottery? I guess if they're finishing sort of in that standard seven spot, maybe you consider that roll of the dice. I'll counter with this question to you. If Garpacks are back, if there's no outside voice coming in, like Howley said, if things just are sort of status quo, does that kind of seem like a move that you could definitely see Garpacks making, given that they're just sort of now probably throwing at the dartboard at this point? Like, that would seem like a move that a front office looking to just get something in here. I could see that kind of a move being made.
No, I mean, I think if you're this Bulls front office, if you are not being removed, demoted from your current position, you have to be starting to hit that panic desperation button. Obviously, your job's been cushy for a while. And there's a lot of things that have bought you some time, but you're getting to the end of the rope on this rebuild. And you can sell this season off as, oh, we had too many injuries, Jim wasn't the right coach, and bring in a new coach. I think that's the only way you get another season, is to buy yourself time by getting another coach, which is funny because that's the approach to the last offseason.
Well, and I've brought this up ad nauseum on the podcast, in a bunch of episodes, that really, if there were a different head coach on the bench this year, I think things would be a lot better given how the bottom of the Eastern Conference has shaken out. And I wonder if you do make that change, if we're kind of setting up the scenario that you brought up, that you're bringing in a new head coach, and now you have basically a backcourt of Satoransky, Levine, and then a front court of Ingram, Markkanen, Carter. I mean, that's really intriguing if you got the right guy to develop your young core.
No, yeah, and like that's why I said, hey, that popped in my head, and I was like, yeah, that's actually a pretty good idea. you know, if all else fails, and that's a bridge that you can, you know, try to cross there, that's something I'd entertain in the offseason. But I think Otto Porter's contract could open up a lot of potential doors for the Bulls come the offseason.
All right, as we wrap up here, Keith, I'll ask for your prediction. Do you think by Thursday at the deadline, the Bulls will have traded away a piece, or do you think they're going to stay status quo?
I think Denzel Valentine will not be on this team after Thursday. I think there is a very good possibility that Thaddeus Young is moved as well. Part of this mysterious pelvic injury that Lowry has and him telling the media that he's good to play if this was a playoff situation and he actually wanted to play like a week ago, I think part of it has to do with getting Thad the minutes he needs to showcase to teams that he's worth something still. And the contract that he has isn't a bad contract, that he's worth that contract and he still has value in this league.
Keith, real quick again, I could find you at Bulls Scripted on Twitter. And where can you find Bulls on Tap?
iTunes, Spotify, anywhere. SoundCloud, just about anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find Bulls on Tap. On Tap Sports is expanding a lot. If you follow soccer, college football, college sports, it's expanding everywhere, not even just Chicago-oriented sports. So be sure to check that out as well. Bulls on Tap with my buddy Buzz on Tap. We pretty much record after every game.
Awesome. Thanks again, Keith, and look forward to having you on again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Matt. It was a pleasure talking Bulls. Look forward to doing it again.
Thank you for listening to the Rebuildable Podcast. Be sure to check out more episodes on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Rebuildable.com.